And we're back, Game On GEDA Radio. It's about 1:20 in the afternoon, and we are live out at the Light Sport Mall, which, for those of you who may not know, has moved from down near Vintage North up to the old NASA building. And in the old NASA building is now the new Affordable Flying Center. And I have with me Ron Wagner, staff member of the EAA, to talk to us about the new center. Ron, how's it going?
Well, it's been a great week with the Affordable Flying Center. It was a real hit with our members and the general public alike. Our goal when we set out with this was to show people that there really are affordable ways to fly, and I think we had a great response to it.
Well, and tell me a little bit about the changeover. What was the gist of the reasoning for putting something together like this? They just wanted to separate and have their own identity spot here on grounds?
Well, I think it was more conceptual. It wasn't something that we were brainstorming one afternoon, and somebody came up with the idea, you know, our members are always concerned about how to fly affordably. We have this opportunity to put something in a NASA building when we found out that NASA wasn't going to be using it this year. So we gave some thought to what would be the best use of that facility, and we came up with the idea of having Affordable Flying Center. And what we did was made it a threefold approach. We have had a number of different aircraft on display. Unfortunately, most of them have gone already. They had other commitments, and they were volunteers. And we still have the Husky Chaser, which is featured on the front page of Sport Aviation this month, which was kind of to coincide with the introduction of the Affordable Flying Center. That aircraft was built for $6,500 or less by scrounging. But the idea was, in this Affordable Flying Center, we really wanted it to be member-supported. I put out a call for people who had found ways to fly affordably or had an aircraft that they thought were extremely affordable to contact me. We got about 200 responses from our membership when we put this appeal out on the webpage and in both of our publications. And we went through those and picked the ones that we thought best exemplified what we were talking about. We ended up with about 9 or 10 aircraft on display. We also had a full array of forums on various ways to save money while you're flying. And these range everything from partnerships, of course, with Sport Pilot being such a strong initiative. We talked a lot about Sport Pilot. We had several forums on that itself. We talked about how to save money when you're buying an aircraft, how to set up a partnership, how to set up a flying club, just a wide array of different topics. We did that in a forum area. At the same time, we had both volunteers and staff who we felt were expert on the subject, and we had them sitting behind a counter answering questions and greeting members as they came in. So all in all, it was a very rewarding week. We had some really interesting airplanes on display, too.
Well, and right next to you is, of course, where they've relocated the Light Sport Mall, and quite a few of the newly certified airplanes under the ASTM standards. And what do you have, about 8 or 9 different manufacturers on display this year?
No, actually, we have 19 aircraft, or we did have. There's a couple of them that have had to leave. But we had 19 different certificated special light sport aircraft on display in the Light Sport Aircraft Mall. The grounds for the mall this year are a little bit smaller, but what we did was we focused strictly on the special light sports to give them the highlight so that we didn't have other types of sport pilot eligible aircraft in there, such as amateur build experimental or experimental light sports. We just had the special light sports, and we had about 19 of them. As Earl said in his interview, this has been just an exciting time to watch as this dynamic new industry has unfolded over the past few years.
Well, and, you know, the weather this week has been really good for light sport airplanes, and we were down at Ultralights day before yesterday with this on-the-fly live remote on EA Radio, and they were commenting that other than that storm we had, which happened to be that day, the weather has been fantastic for flying these light sport airplanes. As we know, some of them do have a little bit more of a restriction than their bigger brothers, the 172s and the 182s, but still the weather has been fantastic for these little airplanes.
Well, the weather's been fantastic for almost anything this week. I've been coming to AirVenture, or prior to that, just the EA Flyins, for a long, long time. And I don't remember a year that we had overall better weather than we've had this year.
Now, there's another event, Ron, that I know that you're part of, and it's not really an EAA event, although EAA is very visible there, and that is the big light sport symposium down in Sebring, Florida. And I attended that with you a number of years ago for the first year of it. How does that integrate in the movement? I know that's a big event, and I know EA is a huge part of it, as is NAFI. Any thoughts on where that seems to be going?
Well, the Sebring, in Sebring, Florida, the U.S. Sport Aviation Expo has been a pleasure to work with. It's a one-of-a-kind event. It's the only event that I know of in the world focused entirely on the special light sport aircraft and on the Sport Pilot Initiative. And it's really become a trade show. It's a much lower key than this. There's no air show. There's no anything else. But I was talking to Bob Wood, the coordinator of that event, yesterday, and he pointed out that it's the one place where you can go and you can look at, sit in, fly almost every make and model of light sport aircraft that there is. Sit in it, fly it, try it, and at the same time, on the same grounds, find insurance, financing. And, of course, EA is proud to be responsible for the forums there. We set up, I believe, last year or in 2008, we had, 45 forums that we offered in their forum area, and these were all put together by EAA. So we're very proud to do that, to carry on the educational aspect of it.
Yes, and it's that's a good observation, is that the key there that you can't do here at AirVenture is fly.
Right.
It's very easy to get on a list and fly the different airplanes down
right.
there.
Right, and it's a different type of event. It's the people that come there, if you've ever been to Sebring, Florida, it's really not on the way to anywhere. It's kind of out in a place where they wouldn't mind the noise from the racetrack. And as a result, the people that go there are very committed. It's a very dedicated audience. Serious buyers go there, so the manufacturers are much more open to giving rides. And because there is no air show, it's not really a fly-in, although people do fly in to go to the event. But it's not like here where you have thousands and thousands and thousands of people flying in. The air traffic is light enough that if the weather cooperates, which it didn't this year, almost anybody that needs a demo flight is able to get one.
Yeah, that's a neat deal. And I think we're going to take a break here in a little bit and then come back for our last half hour. Today's a little earlier than has been earlier for this program. The last day here at AirVenture, they moved that showcase up a half an hour to get everybody out of town a little sooner today. So we're going to have to cut it short at 2 o'clock. But you've got an author for us to speak to when we come back, and we've got some manufacturers that should be stopping by to talk to us about their airplanes. So lots more coming up on the AirVenture in-flight, on-the-fly program today.
Well, great. It's been a great pleasure to work with you this year, and as always, we're looking forward to next year.
Thank you very much, Ron, for speaking with us. We'll be right back at EA Radio after these words.